Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of the Coffee Express, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Marcus Sahaba Online, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa, on this day, the 13th of Shawwal, 1446, corresponding with the Gregorian date, the 12th of April, 2025. Alhamdulillah, we just completed our segment on Palestine. And we will now, inshallah, be getting on with our segment called Straight Talk. And in this segment, we talk to Brother Ahmad Parak, who is a counselor in this city of Durban, also known as Itikweni. That's the official name after the fall of apartheid. And the name of the segment is Straight Talk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Ahmad Parak.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Adan as-salam to all our radio listeners on a beautiful Saturday morning, Molana.
Before we get into our local politics, I know one of the things we're going to discuss involves the department that you are involved in, MPAC. But before we get into that, are there any new developments regarding our kafan and dafan issues?
Well, no, there's nothing new has come up about. Only thing, you know, I just need to let the community know, we have given the issue regarding the amendment of the Justice Criminal Procedure Act to three top legal advocates in the country. They're having a look at it, so hopefully in the next month we shall have a report how we will proceed, because we have also have MPs in national government where we will be submitting to the national government to do an amendment so that the machine that what we want to do in terms of the X-rays machine, we have already secured the machine. Now it's just, this is the only stumbling block that is holding us back. And hopefully before the year end, inshallah, with the help of Allah, I've been trying for the last 3 years, we have come this far. So inshallah, before the year end of this 2025, we will have our prototype post-mortem machine in Durban. The only one in South Africa, inshallah.
Now, coming to our local politics, there's an article on IOL, the online news. Itikweni MPAC chair calls for urgent action on electricity unit corruption report. Now, in that article we read, the report would blow the lid on how officials colluding with service providers at the city's electricity unit stole electricity streetlights, which were found at the Mozambique border in 2023. Now, this happened in 2023. Why is it only being brought up now?
Jimolana, yeah, this matter was brought where I sit. We are only 11 members that sit in the MPAC. It's one of the very powerful committee in the city where we go and do thorough investigation regarding. It was brought before us. We said to council, we deferred this matter back to council. We want a fully fledged report in terms of exactly. We had the information from the whistleblower. We knew exactly what was happening in this department, so we asked for a fully fledged report, and they were trying to put it under the carpet or put it in file 13, which we called, and we waited. Eventually We do, any matters we defer, we make a note of it and we wait. And in the last meeting, we put a very stringent letter to the city mayor as well as the city manager. We want this report and we are wanting it now. So now this matter will have to go. We have seen the gist of the letter. We were not happy, so we referred. We want it to go to EXCO, and they need to go through that report and send it through. But it cannot be because of subjudicate, can't go into the public domain for now because we haven't seen every aspect of that report. So it will come into our meeting before the month end. We will know exactly, and we have given instruction to CIIU to do a further investigation because we know that these copper wires, electricity equipment, as well as the street light that was purchased to do the whole entire city, is already in the border of Mozambique. So we knew what was happening. So now we are saying, give us the report. CIIU must give the report as well, the investigation, and these people must be charged. And we have also recommended that whoever is involved, they must be in terms of the judgment recently just before the Constitutional Court. We want them to be charged because that's the only way we have to set a precedent. Because we are sitting with cases from 2017, and we're asking for Konazi, the commissioner of police at the CEP, to give us all this information, as well as the NPA to give us information. Why are they dragging their feet on all these matters? So we are going full out for the juggler here. And that is where we have been very successful in the last couple of months now. We're getting 100% from national government that this is the only department in the city is getting 100% because we are following every single lead that is there. Now the thing is this is just the tip of the iceberg, Molana, because there's more to it in the supply chain. You will see in the next 3 to 4 months a lot of heads will be rolling, and you'll find we have already seen in council, a lot of them are taking their package and resigning from the council before they get caught and the other officials get implicated in this whole thing. They'd rather be in the outside, they'll be better off than staying there because their life is going to be in danger. So therefore, what they're doing is they're taking their package and they're running at the moment. This is where we are in this matter here. So we're waiting for this thing to come. And we want to nail them. This is one time. All these outstanding matters, we want to close them up. And we want now, we are saying, we want conviction. That's what we're going for at the moment. People must go 15 years behind bars for all what they have done wrong. And the city is losing money. The community is suffering because of all these things here. Because what is happening to, tender is out now for the security. Yesterday, Thursday was the briefing, Bolana. If you don't go on the system and don't send the email for the briefing, you don't qualify. But yet people didn't go for the briefing, but I can guarantee you though some of them will get the contract. Now we're keeping a very close watch on tenders at the moment. And what we are saying is, Bolana, is this tender business should be outsourced. Somebody who will be able to do proper due diligence, which department is going, do everything, you know, a QA, get the costing and everything. Because what they do is, the tender goes out, they accept the tender, and down the line, they'll change the reference number, and they will cancel it and bring it under new reference number and a new tender number. So, but in the meantime, the work has started. Now, because they want to escalate the price, we even caught up with that now. So all these things, we have brought it to a halt now. So they don't know where to turn at the moment, because they know MPAC is looking at every single detail in every tender in the department at the moment. Jimolana.
You mentioned that some of them are resigning and taking their passage, their package. Now, these people, you mean that if they are found guilty, they won't be charged because they resigned and took their passage, their package?
Well, what happens in government level, once you take your package and you come out of government, so you got a better chance of defending yourself than being in the system. Because when you're in the system, you'll have to toe the line like the others. Now they're saying, you know what, we know too much. Before we go and sit 15 years behind bars, we'd rather be on the outside and get a good advocate and spill the beans on the culprit. We got implicated because we are in a department. You know, when once you're in a 10-man department, everybody has to play the same tune. Yet you know, and I've been speaking to a few people. There's a lady in one of the departments there. She's crying at the moment. She says, you know what, I don't know what to do, but yet I've got a family. I'm a widow. This job is the only job I've got. At my age, what do I do? If I spill the beans, I'm in trouble. They will come and shoot me and my children. They even threaten me where the children are going to school, which university his daughter is, everything, which Uber she comes to work with, what vehicle her daughter got, her son got, every detail it is there. And that is the problem that we face with at the moment, Mala.
You also mentioned the CIIU. Now, I don't know whether you're aware that there was an article in the tabloid, this was while you were in Umrah, that office was broken into.
Yeah, now, that I will also be in Umrah, and in fact, the chairperson sent me the clip of that. And what happened is, yet they got security there. How this happened, we're doing an investigation. SHAP is doing an investigation. And there's lots of files are missing. But fortunately, they made one big mistake. They took the files away, not realizing the chairperson's laptop was in a drawer. They didn't take that. So everything we managed to get back. Now we just have to reprint. That's all we have to do. And the master is with the SEPs at the moment. So, you know, what they didn't get much. But one of them already is detained. So hopefully in the next couple of months, we're going to get more detail how this whole thing and how they work the system to break into those offices.
Now, coming back to our stealing of electricity units, what's mentioned in that article, the lights were reported to have been stolen from the depot itself. However, it puzzled everyone how the stock went out without being recorded by the CCTV cameras. Doesn't this indicate that this was an inside job?
Monana, I know how they did it actually. It was a very, very clever way of doing it. Number one, if there was the invoice and the delivery note come together, it says there 805 cartons. They only did maybe 4 or 5 cartons from the 800. The others were all empty cartons. They brought it into the system, they logged it into the system, they logged the delivery number, they logged the invoice number. They purposely, they put the CCTV off. So there was nothing recording or anything like that. So that was even in the hard drive, we tried to extract information, there was nothing in there. So that was one of the problems. So what they did was, they said, now they are claiming, they said, no, these boxes were there. There's a signature. There's it. If you open, this is it. Where did that others go? So that's the main, from they only brought 5 boxes from 805 cartons. 5 came in, 800 went to the Mozambique border, and that's what happened. So they try to cover their back, but not realizing sooner or later they will get caught, and this is how they caught. And when we did our investigation, this is how they say the boxes came in, they signed for it, the delivery notice, the invoice is stolen. Why are you asking us if they are stolen? So we think, where is the goods? We only got for five. Where is the balance? That's how they actually got caught.
Okay. Now, we also read in that article, in a thread of emails which the whistleblower sent to senior municipality officials, he claimed that two very senior officials from the electricity unit working with Mguni have manipulated the tender bid to block the lowest bidders from getting the work and preferred the highest bidders who will pay them kickbacks. Now, doesn't this call for, you know, having independent people to decide who should be given contracts, and they should provide reasons why a particular contractor was chosen before giving out the contract?
So in this case here, Maulana, you know, I mentioned earlier on that what they do, this tender system is flawed. And we always said to the city manager, the mayor, the system must be revamped. And you know how they do in the building construction, they need to bring that system in here. And this problem is so open for abuse, it is unbelievable. So you can tender, what they do is, when a tender document is out, now they first they'll give you the briefing, and if you didn't apply for the briefing, you won't get the tender. That's one. Two, the tender date will be, if it's the tenders for the security is going to be on the briefing was on the 10th, and the tender closes on the 25th. Now they will see whoever came for the briefing and what the tenders are. So they have a look at it. Now they got their inside mafia, their own players in their tender process. They have already known, even those guys going to send the tenders on the 24th, on the closing date, they already know who was going to get those tenders. It is already set and dusted who's going to get the tenders from 10 big companies will be getting the tenders, how they're going to submit. Every detail is already being done. Because I had an interview with one or two of them during the course of this week, wanting to know how this whole system works. So the guy told me exactly how the system works, and they have already made up their mind who's going to get it. Now that's where we are saying this, it is flawed. We supposed to be done professionally, where the tender comes, nobody will know till the end. Once they have looked at all the, firstly, if it's registered. Some of these tenders come, Molana Zatin comes before us at MPEC. The construction has stopped because SARS asked for the clearance certificate, they don't have. Now, the tender is gone by another 90 days. You can't get the work done. This is what happens. And we keep giving advances on these tenders. In some cases, you get a tender, you get the full entire amount up front. Now you start the work, down the line, 3-4 months down the line, you dried up with the money because you spent it on every other thing for yourself, and then there's no more, and the company goes bust. We're taking a massive bath when it comes to the tender issues. We're losing billions of rand. And this is how they don't have a policy. You know, you do it on a phases. You finish your first phase, your deposit is supposed to be on first phase. If you got 5 million, 1 million startup, you start the work. They're supposed to have people, engineers going there, the contractor on site. If he's on the system of the council, if he's compliant in terms of PAYE, UIF, workman's compensation, if he's got the right equipment, all that, nobody does. You just give it to him, mom's my uncle, khalas. And they leave it at that. Then only down the line they come to know, you know what, the work cannot be done. It comes before council again to say the company went bust. Now, that's where people are getting away with it. Now, we say, even if the company went bust, we must hold, now in terms of the law, you can hold the directors of that company liable. So we need to get our money back. That's what we are saying.
Now, a message was sent to Mr. Mguni. Dear Mr. Mguni, you were the individual who intervened and issued instruction to our department, electricity officials, to cancel a bid and then use the RT29 and manipulate it so it would be awarded to your preferred bidders. Submit yourself to a polygraph and test and call all officials who you instructed to do the same. Officials are all aware of your deliberate intervention and interference in bids, and individuals within your staff have circulated what happens within your office and you and your preferred service providers, said the whistleblower in an email sent to Mr. Mguni. Now, this email is asking, requesting polygraph test. Is this going to be carried out? Well, both Mr. Mguni and all his staff members that are, so, you know, in cahoots with him.
First and foremost, Mguni is the head. He and his staff are implicated in this scenario. That's one. Two, he has, Mguni can, because he's the head of department, and if he gives his staff, change that tender from 027 to RT29, they have to do it. They got no option. That's it. So indirectly, all his staff is implicated because he gave the instruction. Now, what he done in this case here, he changed the tender to cover up and everything, and he gave to his cronies there. That's what he did. But the long and the short of this whole thing here, when they give these tenders out, now, before the tender is accepted, on the outside now, whoever is tendering, they got a syndicate. They'll come to you and say, this is what was told to me this week. We want 500K, we guarantee you the tender. Now, they take that 500K, they split it among that, like in this Mguni's case, with his staff. So everybody is taken care of. They will stay quiet about it, and this is what happened. Now, once that is done and everything, the tender is awarded, they change that from the 0027 to RT29. So that 500 you paid, you're out of the scenario now. You say, you know what happened? I got the tender. There's my certification and everything. They say, sorry, it came from the head. This tender had to be changed. So you lost your 500K. I know a lot of people spend millions of rand thinking they want to get the tender. This is how they play the game. And this is like a mafia game, how this thing is being played. So you have to be very careful. In this case here, Mguni will be personally liable. And in terms of the SEA case, we want to charge him. And that's what we want to do. I'm saying to my members at MPAC, charge one guy and we will get this department right, the Itigweni municipality, right? They will know we have already set a precedent and we are charging him. That's what we need to do. And like, you know, when the body parts from Gale Street mortuary was being sold and it was going to Israel, Molana, this is about 15 years ago, you must be heard of this thing here. And they were taking the body parts and it was going to Israel. And then we came to know about this here. And we did it such a way, one Friday, we brought Scorpion, at that time where Scorpion police would step. We closed the whole morgue down, and we caught the lady, and she fell the bin, and she spent 15 years in jail because, and how many, one of the captains was involved, whoever was involved, and from St. Augustine Hospital, how many doctors were involved? Jewish doctors were involved, and that's how it went. It's the same thing what we want to do here. We're studying this thing very, very closely. We are saying we're not interested from, we want a special task team to handle special matters for us. And that's what we are doing at the moment. And that is the reason you will see today in Konazi, he's got a march. They say, hands off our commissioner in Konazi. That is the same thing, because this one commissioner, he is not playing Molana. If you open fire at one of his members, he tells these members, you open fire as well. You got my cover. And that's what we want. We want Konazi to bring a special task team and investigate this whole entire municipality with all that matters from 2017 that is outstanding. NPA, the one that they say we must withdraw. We want to know how, on what basis withdraw. Whoever is involved, if they have to come with the proper task team with his members and himself and close up and take those people on a Thursday, and they will only get bail on Tuesday, they must do it. That's what we have to show them, an example that we meaning business in the city.
Now, another burning issue in Itikweni, and in the past week, you know, things went a bit out of hand, is the water issue. We know that it was scheduled that on the 8th and the 9th, there are certain areas in Durban that were not going to have water. And as scheduled, water was shut down on the 8th. But at the end of the day, we were informed that whatever repairs that was to be taken hasn't been taken, and you know they are going to open the water. Now, some of us only got water at 8 on the next morning at 9 o'clock, and some at 8, and some throughout the next day, and until yesterday I saw water trucks going to that flat, block of flat, Sydenham Heights, because the water didn't return. What actually happened here?
Well, Anna, you see, at the moment, you know, as I think we spoke in the previous radio show, that this water business, that's why the Minister of Water and Sanitation from National, he is here in Durban, and he's sitting with our mayor, the Department of Water and Sanitation, the Operations Director of Water and Sanitation in the city as we speak. They are finding a way. And this water business, and in fact, you know, the city and the city manager and the mayor, everything, everyone concerned, they must come clean on this matter. The matter with water is not going to be, if you tell me, Ahmed, if you can, by 2027, this water issue will be sorted out, I will tell you straight no. You're looking at 2032 to get the whole city infrastructure right by 2032. First and foremost, the changeover we did for the 8 and 9, we told you that certain, like Musgrave electricity was the issue, there was water also issues. Now, when you're doing the changeovers and we're putting new pumps and we're revamping. Now, Molana, when you take your car to a Durban South Toyota, only when you take it there, you tell him you want a major service. When the mechanic opens it, he checks it, you tell him it's major service, they got a checklist, they do a major service. But in that major service, when they do, they put it, now he's they just put it on a computer. The computer will tell you everything about the car, what else is needed. So before he goes and do your service, on the major service, he picked up other things, he picked up the phone and he tell you, listen, I have got a problem. On your major service, we are covered, but you got other issues in the vehicle, and it's going to cost you so much. Now, you was not even told about that, but you have to get it done because you know you need your car. So that is what happened. Now, when we opened up these pump stations and to do the renovation, because for the last 15 years, this pump stations have not been serviced and all that. So when you open up, then we discover this has got bigger problems than what we expected. It's not a straightforward 8-hour job like even the electricity we had recently here in the Musgrave area. They said from 8 in the morning till 4. Next morning, it only came 4 in the next morning because they worked right through the night because there were other issues. So that's where our problem is. Chatsworth and other areas, they're heavily affected. 5-6 days, they don't have water. But I can't understand. We just have bought brand-making new tankers. So the tankers support, wherever there's no water, tankers must be there. That's even if you're doing a major repair in your area, the first thing they do, they inform certain times the community would not have water from certain times. Tankers must be available because of the repair, because there will be no water in that area. That's the rule. So that's where the biggest problem comes. Your counselor in that area, they taking two blankets and sleeping, so they don't worry about it. That's what happens. So you need to hold your counselor accountable. You got a problem there, that counselor must leave everything, because it's a ward counselor. It's not a PR counselor. Ward counselor, whoever it is, he or she, he's accountable for that ward, and she must inform the community. We won't have water from 8, from certain time to certain time, but I've made arrangement because of so many houses there, two tankers will be on standby from this time to that time. That's how it's supposed to be. So Chatsworth, I don't know. In fact, I want to do some investigation. I've got a Chatsworth office. I'm going to be going during the course of the week. Find out more about it. Why is there a problem in that area, and why the tankers were not there? So, you know, if they're doing repairs, it's fine. But you're supposed to have those water giving to the community. What do you do? Because you've got masjids there, park safi, you need water and all that. Why there was no tankers? That's where I'm coming very, very strongly sometime next week, inshallah.
Yeah, the tanker issue is what I wanted to ask you about, because I remember in a past program, you mentioned that they spend millions buying new tankers. And why are the Chatsworth people complaining about tankers? Now, the next issue, we'll just do one more issue because we're almost out of time, is about the monies that they get from licensing and traffic fines, etc. Where does that money actually go to? Because they talk about maintenance of roads, but you know, our roads are full of potholes.
See, Moana, when it comes to from the national government to province to municipality, we receive 3.462 billion from provincial for road grant. Now that is a grant. So almost 3.5 billion we get grant annually, we get for upkeeping of our roads. Now you'll see there's a lot of work at the moment being taken from Spaghetti Junction right up to the 45th Way and all that. So there is some good work is being taken at the moment. So that is the 3.5 billion we get grant. Now that is from the provisional government. So provisional government get from national give it to provisional. So that's what happens. Then you speak about your licensing fee. We get in the region of 2.3 billion from motor licensing and all that. Now all that goes under Department of Transport. So that money goes in there. Then you got your fines and learner's license. You're getting 172 million annually there. So that is in the full sum of all these funds, what we rake up is about 8.8 billion. So that is all for roads. Now you will ask, why are we funding the problem with transport? From national, they're going to give us a grant to give to the bus service there for Ichekwini. Now, Malana, yesterday I was going to into Zuma with my chairperson. Now, we saw two buses, and they got a bus depot in Zuma and all. That bus was going empty. So myself and my chairperson were speaking. We said, how this is possible when a bus is going empty to the depot? Now that is a problem. And this, our buses, we got new buses now. There's about 32 new buses are getting rotten at the moment because of that go go Durban issue, because they, the Krama brothers want that buses. They say, you give us the buses, we'll open the rail link for you. So the rail link is another issue we will speak about next week, inshallah. So that's where the problem is. There is money, but it's going in the wrong places. And this bus, the city mustn't run the bus. It must be outsourced, like how they got South Coast Bus Service, the one of the oldest bus service in South Coast. You know, that bus service is from the time I was born. They're running a desk company. So there is reputable people who know. If you take Asma Olympic, they run the buses, and how they're making money. How come we are showing loss? They want, you know how much, 1.4 billion to put into the system now to run the city bus. It's not all. You rather don't run the buses. You rather go to the taxi industry and do a deal with them with a special token or something, and let those people go by taxi, or you get set up a taxi for these people. It will work out cheaper than putting that one. Every single year we're putting in money in the Durban transport. It's just not on. And I saw those papers came through to us this week. And I said, no, these are the ones that we will query in the next council meeting. And then we say, we're not going to allow this thing here. Even if we have to go to court, we want to put a stop to that 1.4 billion going into the bus operation.
Okay, we have now come to the end of our time. Jazakumullah khair al-jaza for the valuable information that you have shared with us this morning. Insha'Allah, you will get the podcast during the course of the day. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We will talk next week, inshallah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Brother Ahmad Parekh, a local councillor, discussing the local politics.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.